All right. Good morning, everyone. Are you awake? Are we awake now? Come on. You know, Jesus said that to his apostles when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I heard this in Jesus Christ Superstar, and it just struck me. Just struck me like a bolt out of heaven when he says to him, "Will you stay awake with me? Will no one stay awake with me? Stay awake with me now." And that's all he's asking. Yes, Dove says, if I live in you, you are awake. Hallelujah. Thank you. And that's what we're here for this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our wonderful weekly gathering. I have the intense joy and pleasure of being the minister this week. You know I'm your minister every day. You guys know me. I'm here every day. And yet this has brought me the point of excitement, such joy, because I have a message that I want to share with you today that is fundamental. And it's the end of terror. It's the end of pain. It's the end of the world. And so here we are together, joining in this beautiful sanctuary. Thank God for the sanctuary. Thank God that we have this opportunity here. And I'm just so very, very grateful for you all. And I'm going to give us an opportunity to say hello to each other and just join with each other in this beautiful Sunday morning service. So as you would in a regular church, any place that you would be, we're going to turn to our brother and say hello, and I'm going to play a song while we do that.
Like the crashing of a wave on the shores of consciousness, we're alive and we're awake to the world, and with the gift of love we're blessed, 'cause we can be, yes we can be. Twinkling of an eye, or the turning of a page, comes the moment when our time has arrived, and we can never be the same. Thank you.
What a beautiful song from Justin Hayward from the Moody Blues. We are children of paradise, and we are just singing and dancing our way home. So I'm just so grateful for you being here. And so here we are. We're in awakening together. What is our purpose? Why are we here? Is that Maureen, the backpacker who just came in the room? I'm so glad to see you. Our purpose. We are a universal assembly of peers. Peers, we're brothers and sisters. We are the same. We're equals, right? Dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. Form is meaningless. It is the content that we are here for. It doesn't matter if you are a Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, whatever it is that you believe, atheist, Satanist, it doesn't matter. The form does not matter. There is only one God, and we are here for that one God. And because of that one God, our being is a creation of God. We are also dedicated to recognize the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal beliefs and biases. Those are those judgments that come about because we don't have open minds. But we're denying the denial of the truth. We're opening our eyes and opening our minds and knowing that universal wisdom is in all of us. We want to recognize these limitations. I want to know the truth so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And so this is what we're here for. And Barb has posted this. And Alex says, I don't think the Satanists believe in the same God. There's only one God, whatever you call him. It's the same thing. So there's belief has nothing to do with it. Reality is all that matters. So here we are, and thank you, Barb, for posting that. Barb is our admin today, and beautiful Dove Fishman, my friend, my mentor, and my teacher is going to be our reader today, so I'm very excited about that. So let me get right now to our announcements. We have a couple of things going on. If you're in Ireland, you could be seeing Regina today. She is in Ireland August 30th to September 3rd, and Barb was going to post a link to that, I'm sure. Then also we have coming up right around the corner, not very, very long from now, our fall retreat. So we have three retreats that are all being done in the same basic 9-day period. So we have a weekend of being with Jan Fraser. Oh, my gosh, how I love Jan Fraser. Jan Fraser wrote the book When Fear Falls Away. I remember Regina reading that book here in this room, and I just remember just sitting here spellbound by this incredible, incredible story of a woman who just lost all sense of fear. And I'm going to talk about that today in our meeting about what it is to be without fear. Jan Fraser had fear fall away from her, drop completely. Now, here is a woman who obviously has incredible things to say. We've listened to her many times here in the sanctuary. I play her recordings, and I'm so inspired by her just gentle wisdom, very brilliant writer, brilliant with words. God really is in her, and she would be a wonderful person to spend a couple of days with. Can you imagine? It'd be like, you know, being able to go and hang out with Jesus for a couple of days. This is the same. This is the caliber of being. This being without fear, this being of knowing of God, Jan Fraser. So that's October 30th through Sunday, November 1st. And And yeah, Barb spent some time with her, and I remember you talking about it, and it is amazing. It's an amazing thing to be in the presence of a being like this. So please consider coming in. Barb has posted the link. And then right after that, the Monday after that, it starts with A Week Within with Regina Dawn Akers. And here's another. Oh, my God. You know, what an opportunity to spend 5 days with this incredibly beautiful and amazingly loving person who is such a gift to the sonship, such a gift to us. I mean, Regina is my gift. She came to me, and I can never feel more grateful. Because, as I was saying earlier this morning when we were reading the workbook lesson, when he knows the way to you, God knows the way to me, and God knew that I needed Regina to move to my town, to come to Colorado, to wake me up and to get me. And so here I am. She came here to get me. That's the way that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So... So Regina Dawn Akers, I'll spend 5 whole days with her in this incredibly beautiful Franciscan Retreat Center here in Colorado, in Colorado Springs, Colorado, at a beautiful time of the year. This is October here. October and November are just amazing times of the year to be in Colorado. There's wildlife, there's deer, all sorts of beautiful things at this retreat center, beautiful walking paths. And I know that if you're with Regina, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be contemplating, meditating, teaching, listening, walking, listening to music. It's just a package that far exceeds in value its cost, believe me. So so there we go. A Week Within with Regina. And then the third of the three in a row is A Weekend Beyond with Bentino Massaro. And Bentino is 27 years old. I've played him many times here in the room. And he is alive and awake and brilliant and filled with joy. And what an incredibly blessed time to spend a couple of days with this person who is, I mean, he is known globally, and people flock to Boulder to see him. So he's coming to us. Excuse me. He will be here with us, here in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. And so here's an opportunity to spend time with him as well. That's Friday, November 6th through Sunday, November 8th. So you could go through the whole thing. You could do the whole thing, all 9 days, or any part of it. But please consider coming. I think the week with Regina is pretty well filling up. But Jacqueline, who is more thoughtless now here in the room, can tell us more about that, how much availability there is. But please don't wait until the end to sign up. Sign up now. And also, I think there are still some scholarships available. And so Regina is full. Okay. So we still have openings, though, for Bentino and Jan Frazier. And so consider looking on the website for scholarships. It is possible that if you can't afford it, we might be able to help you out. And Jacqueline is saying we can get more rooms if you register immediately. And why not? You know, if you got, if honestly, if you know, someone called you up and said, hey, you know, come on over here to Jerusalem. There's this guy Jesus walking around, and he's got some pretty cool stuff to say. You know, would you feel compelled to want to come and see and hear and be a part of that? Sure enough, why not? So that's our fall retreat that's coming up. And let me see, as far as, oh, yes, and then the Course in Miracles Conference in Las Vegas, that's coming up April 8th through 10th, and Awakening Together is one of the sponsors of that conference. Regina Dawn Akers is going to be a presenter there, as will be our own Dove Fishman will be there presenting. Some other folks, Candace and David Paul Doyle, Bill Free and Lisa Natoli, I'm calling out my favorites here, Jennifer Hadley, John Mark Hammer, JM. If you guys are into a way of mastery, that John Mark Hammer is going to be there. John Money, Myron Jones, Rev Myron Jones is going to be there. And she always gives a wonderful, wonderful presentation with Larry Glantz. What great presenters they are. Let's see, Maureen Muldoon. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Mari Perrone, who a lot of us really love, A Course of Love, and Mari Perrone is going to be there, which is, she was here at the one in New York, and she will be at the one in Las Vegas. Very cool. Earl Purdy, Amy Torres, James Twyman. Jimmy Twyman's going to be there, and, you know, we love Jimmy. We listen to his lessons all the time. And, of course, Rev Tony Ponicello, my new BFF. Let me tell you what. Larry has a movie. That's right. Larry has a movie being made of his book. And if you have not read that book, is that Forgiving Kevin is what it's called? Amazing, amazing, amazing. Saving Kevin. Whatever. It's an amazing book. I got it at the conference. That's the only book I bought, in fact. Because I didn't want to carry a bunch of books in my luggage. It was great. Anyway, so those are our announcements. I'm not sure if there's any new MPP classes coming up, but if you're interested in becoming a minister and you're a member of Awakening Together, we do ordain ministers. It is a part of our church, and we are working for church status with the IRS. I want to let you guys know that, what did we send? 43 letters to the IRS. That came from people who come into the sanctuary and who spend time with us here in the sanctuary. And I haven't seen all the letters. I've seen a few that people sent to me. And I am just amazed at the connections that we make here. I know I've made many, many wonderful connections. And yes, Jacqueline is saying for clarity, registration is still open for all three fall retreats. So please don't feel like you can't go because Regina's filled up, because we can get more rooms. And yeah, thank you, Jacqueline, for all that work. And so yeah, wonderful times coming up. If you feel moved to become an Awakening Together minister, or even to just take some of the classes that we offer, which are, we have True Meditation, Introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. If you've ever wondered what that was, you want to find out more, we have a class. You know, it's what, a 5 or 6 week class, and it really gives you some real understanding. Intro to the Tao, Buddhism, NTI, Sufism, Kabbalah, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta. I love that Regina gave two classes, one to Ramana and one to Nisargadatta. That's awesome. Inner Ramana, A Course in Miracles. These are all the classes, a lot of the classes that help you become prepared to be a minister, to be prepared to be a minister in an assembly where form is not the issue. We are looking at whatever the form of your belief, it has no meaning. It is the content that has the meaning. And these classes are meant to show us how it all, the content is the same, no matter what the form may be. So if you've ever wondered or you want to try it out, check into getting into one of these classes. You don't have to be a member of Awakening Together, but you definitely don't have to be going to become a minister. You can just take the class because you're interested in knowing and studying the topic. So that's possible too. So I think that's the end for my announcements. Excuse me. And so now I'm going to play an opening song. And then I'm going to actually be turning the mic over to Dove Fishman, who is my reader today, and he's going to be reading some passages from A Course in Miracles about our home. So I think before I do the song, I think I'm going to do the invocation. I'm just going to say a little prayer right now, and I would ask you to join me. Just take a deep breath in And just hold it for a moment, relax and let it go. And as you're breathing and watching, open your mind and ask the Divine, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, Buddha, Krishna, whomever, whatever you want to call the name doesn't matter. Just open your mind and ask for your Divine to inspire you, your Divine to be with you in your thoughts, your Divine to be with you, to guide you, and to bring you home. That's what we're here for, is to remember our purpose and to come home. And so thank you, Holy Spirit, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Krishna, Buddha, Amma Bhagwan, whatever you want to call it, thank you for being here in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, and open our eyes, open our hearts and our minds to listen with open minds. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Amen. And now I will play our opening song, and then as soon as that's done, I will turn the mic over to Dove Fishman for our daily reading, or for our reading.
I Dig a Pygmy by Charles Hawtrey and the Deaf Aids. Phase one, in which Doris gets her oats.
Driving, not arriving, on our way back home. perfect selection. Thank you so much, Lynn. What a wonderful song. We're on our way home. We're going home. Getting nowhere on our way back home. That sounds so perfect. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. Thank you so much, Lynn, for asking me to read. And she did give me 8 different paragraphs within A Course in Miracles. And I'll go through each one, mentioning this is the very first. From text chapter 4, section 1, the ego has built a shabby and unsheltering home for you because it cannot build otherwise. Do not try to make this impoverished house stand. Its weakness is your strength. Only God can make a home that's worthy of his creations who have chosen to leave it empty by their own dispossession. Yet his home will stand forever and is ready for you when you choose to enter it. Of this you can be wholly certain. God is as incapable of creating the perishable as the ego is of making the eternal. The second reading. The body is the ego's home by its own election. It is the only identification with which the ego feels safe, since the body's vulnerability is its best argument that you cannot be of God. This is the belief that the ego sponsors eagerly, yet the ego hates the body because it cannot accept it as good enough to be its home. Here is where the mind becomes actually dazed. Being told by the ego that it's really a part of the body and the body is its protector, the mind is also told that the body cannot protect it. Therefore, the mind asks, well, where can I go for protection? To which the ego replies, turn to me. The mind, and not without cause, reminds the ego that it has itself insisted that it is identified with the body. So there is no point in turning to it for protection. The ego has no real answer to this because there is none, but it does have a typical solution. It obliterates the question from the mind's awareness. Once out of the awareness, the question can and does produce uneasiness, but it cannot be answered because it cannot be asked. Third selection. This is the question that must be asked. Where can I go for protection? Seek and ye shall find does not mean that you shall seek blindly and desperately for something that you would not recognize. Meaningful seeking is consciously undertaken, consciously organized, and consciously directed. The goal must be formulated clearly and kept in mind. Learning and wanting to learn are inseparable. Learning and wanting to learn are inseparable. You learn best when you believe what you're trying to learn is of value to you. However, not everything you may want to learn has lasting value. Indeed, many of the things you want to learn may be chosen because their value will not last. The fourth selection. You will undertake a journey because you're not at home in this world. And you will search for your home whether you realize where it is or not. If you believe it is outside you, the search will be futile, for you will be seeking it where it is not. You do not remember how to look within, for you do not believe your home is there. Yet the Holy Spirit remembers it for you, and he will guide you to your home, because that is his mission. As he fulfills his mission, he will teach you yours. For your mission is the same as his. By guiding your brother's home, you are but following him. The fifth selection. No one in this distracted world but has seen some glimpses of the other world about him. Yet while he still lays value on his own, he will deny the vision of the other, maintaining that he loves what he loves not, and following not the road that love points out. Love leads so gladly. As you follow him, you will rejoice that you have found his company and learned of him the joyful journey home. You wait but for yourself. You wait but for yourself to give this sad world over and exchange your errors for the peace of God is but your will. And Christ will always offer you the will of God in recognition that you share it with him. The sixth selection. You see yourself locked in a separate prison, removed and unreachable, incapable of reaching out as being reached. You hate this prison you've made, and you would destroy it, but you would not escape from it, leaving it unharmed without your guilt upon it. The seventh selection. Yet only thus can you escape. The home of vengeance is not yours. The place you set aside to house your hate is not a prison, but an illusion of yourself. The body is a limit imposed on the universal communication that is an eternal property of mind. But the communication is internal. Mind reaches to itself. It's not made up of different parts which reach each other. It does not go out. Within itself, it has no limits, and there is nothing outside it. It encompasses everything. It encompasses you entirely. You within it, and it within you. There is nothing else anywhere or ever. The final selection. Your chosen home is on the other side. Beyond the veil, it has been carefully prepared for you, and it is ready to receive you now. You will not see it with the body's eyes, yet all you need, you have. Your home has called to you since time began, nor have you ever failed entirely to hear. You heard, but knew not how to look nor where, and now you know. In you the knowledge lies, ready to be unveiled and freed from all the terror that kept it hidden. There is no fear in love. The song of Easter is the glad refrain from the Son of God. Is the glad refrain, the Son of God was never crucified. Let us lift up our eyes together, not in fear, but faith. And there will be no fear in us, for in our vision will be no illusions, only a pathway to the open door of heaven, the home we share in quietness, and where we live in gentleness and peace as one together. I just want to say, Lynn, that these are, you know, this, actually, I just read it for the first time. You sent me the thing. And if anyone would really like, I think this is the most priceless eight sections that you selected out. And I guess if anyone asks, you can send it to them. I can send it. I think everyone should have a copy of this. It takes up one page. And then I want to add one other two-word sentence that comes from the final lesson, lesson 200 of part 1. There is no peace but the peace of God. And in paragraph 4, there is a two-word sentence, and it says, come home. With that, turning this mic back to you, Lynn, thank you so much.
I love that, Dove, and it makes me want to cry. I just, come home. That's it. That's the whole point of this. And yes, I will send this out if anybody wants it or post it on Facebook or whatever. These paragraphs, it's the whole story. It starts with the ego made this home for you. And I will add that come home because that's perfect, Dove. The ego made this shabby and unworthy home, this body, this world, this thing that we think we are, it is just doesn't serve us in any way at all. And no wonder we've been uncomfortable from the very moment that we started. It has never been our home. So these words are just shabby and unsheltering home, because that's the only thing that it can do. And only God can make a home that's worthy for you. We made this place. We made this world. We then live in abject terror all the time. When I read that, this is the question that must be asked. Where can I go for protection? It reminds me of an old song that we used to sing, and it was called O Sinner Man, where are you going to run to on that day? And that day is the end of the world. Where are you going to run to? Well, that is a perfect analogy for us right now. Where? It's the end of our world. Where can we run? Everything that we made is falling apart. The body is dying. The earth is going through, you know, whatever things people are warning us about. There's nothing but a terrible, terrible place for what? For the Son of God? And but he says, you know, from the very beginning, you will undertake a journey because you are not at home in this world. And you will search for your home whether you realize where it is or not. If you believe it is outside you, the search will be futile, for you will be seeking where it is not. And so, yes, do you not know? Have you not, from the very beginning, when you first gained consciousness and realized, this is my home? I'm terrified. You know, I see it, you know, my little grandson, even now, when his mom puts on her sunglasses and picks up her purse, he's like, off, off, off. He doesn't want her to leave him. He's terrified. Not because of anything has ever happened to him because of it, but because this world is not our home. Nothing that happens to us here has a happy ending. We're all going to end up dead because this thing that we made is just not, it can't survive. And yet God keeps saying to us, come home, come home, come home. Why? Why did the prodigal son, and this, I'm going to tell you a different story of the prodigal son or a different thought about the prodigal son. Because we talked about it last night. If you don't know the story, there was a wealthy man. He had two sons. His younger son came to him and said, Dad, give me my part of my inheritance. I want to go out and spend it. I want to go have some adventure in the world. And so Dad said, yeah, and gave him his part of the inheritance. And the son went out into the world. And in the world, he lived a life of it was probably pretty much fun, you know, drunken debauchery and, you know, sex and drugs and rock and roll or whatever, you know, whatever he did. He took his resources and he spent them up till he had no more. And because he had left home, he had cut himself off from his source. Or so he believed. He believed that my source is gone, no more money is coming to me, and therefore now I have to work and I have to feed pigs. And I'd love to be eating what those pigs are eating because I'm so hungry. You know, he went through a time where he realized that he had made a mistake in leaving home. The thing that I think is such an anomaly is that eventually, he became so tired of that life that he decided to go back home, even though he believed that his father was angry with him. He believed that his father would reject him. He believed that his father was going to kill him. Whatever he thought, he overcame the fears that he had about what he thought his father was going to do to him. Because he was in such a depleted state that he had no choice. But he did have a choice. He always had a choice. The prodigal son could have stayed and fed the pig slop. I mean, he could have stayed and he could have lived a life in that world. He could have starved to death. He could have gotten a disease. He could have become a king. There were so many things that could, there are so many stories in the Bible where people in those abject places ended up becoming a king later or ended up becoming, something famous and wonderful. He could have done all those things. But he decided to go back home and face up to what he had done. That's what I'm saying is the anomaly. We do not do that. We do not do that. We do not say, oh, God, I really made a mistake. I want to come home. What we say is, God, why don't you come over here and fix this for me? God, would you just send me a check in the mail? Here's my PayPal address. Can you just send somebody by with some food? We don't think that the only real answer is to come home. We don't think that the only real answer is to come home. So this is the difference between us and the prodigal son. we think we're going to be able to fix it. And Jesus is telling us, you will never be able to fix it. It's impossible. What you made cannot be. What you made is impermanent. It is falling apart from the moment you are born. You are dying. It's just a journey through time and space and agony and ecstasy until the end and death. That's the inevitable journey of everything in this world. Because why? It was made without love. What does that mean? It was made without God. The prodigal son left God and made his own world without him. But he wised up and came home. We, on the other hand, are still sitting around saying, I think we can fix it. I really honestly think that if we put in these ozone filters or we set up this water revival station or we stopped putting pollutants, we stopped putting fluorocarbons into the air, or whatever, we really think we can fix it. And Jesus is telling us, no, you can't fix it. You can't fix it because it doesn't exist. It's not broke. And so as long as I'm looking out there for the answer, I'm looking out there for the solution, I'm not going to where the answer is, where the solution is. And where is it? It is in me. It is what I am. And I love this. And these are actually passages that I just love listening or reading. This one here from chapter 13 that Dove read. No one in this distracted world but has seen some glimpses of the other world about him. Yet while he still lays value on his own, he will deny the vision of the other, maintaining that he loves what he loves not. He loves what he made. Even though I know I've seen glimpses of heaven, I still really like this, what I made. And so he follows the road that love points out. Love leads so gladly. Oh my God, what an incredible sentence that is. Love leads so gladly. You know, that's how the prodigal son went home. He had love leading him. The Bible story, it seems like he came with his tail between his legs. But how can you return to God with your tail between your legs? You have to be coming back to God, being led by love. It's not because I don't have food, because I can eat pig slop. It's not because I don't have clean clothes to wear, because I still can exist without clean clothes. That's not why he came home. I don't think they got the story right. Because the only reason that you or I or anybody is going to turn back home is because we are following love. Because we're willing. We've opened up our minds, we've opened up our hearts, and we're willing to be led. And so once I decide that I'm going to stop leading myself and allow love to lead the way, then the path is clear. Why? Because there's no path, there's nowhere to go. He knows the way to me. I don't need to know how to get to him. That prodigal son didn't need to know how to get back home. You know, he didn't need anything. He just needed to follow love. And when he followed love, he got back home, and guess what? Father was there waiting, looking out the window, being joyful that he was home, dancing with joy because his son had returned. This is how the Son of God returns. Now, the prodigal son also felt guilty. He came back with guilt in his mind. He came back saying, I don't really deserve your love. I really screwed up. I was really bad. And, you should just, I'll feed your pigs now. I don't have to feed a stranger's pigs. I'll feed your pigs. Which always surprises me, because aren't those people, like, don't they not eat pork? But that's a whole nother story. I don't know what they do with all the pigs in the Bible. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it's all metaphorical, right? It's a metaphor, all right? All of it. So, yeah. Thank you, Carrie. So the prodigal son, you know, that's the other problem I have with the story, is because he went home and he still had his guilt. And, you know, who knows, he still had his guilt later. I don't know. But when love leads the way, guilt is not a factor, because you recognize that you have not done anything. You see yourself locked in a separate prison, removed and unreachable, incapable of reaching out as being reached. You feel lost and alone, like, I can never, ever, ever get out of here. But he says, only thus can you escape. The home of vengeance is not yours. The place you set aside to house your hate is not a prison, but an illusion of yourself. The body is an illusion of myself. The world is an illusion of myself. I made it up. So that's really evident. That's very clear. How do I get out of it? How do I get home? I remember that my Father loves me. So here's now, you know, this is really the teaching. I'm going to tell you really now what this whole teaching is about. All right. My Father loves me. My Father loves me and would never let me go. I don't believe it. I'm like that prodigal son. I'm afraid he's going to be mad at me. I'm afraid he's going to punish me. I'm afraid that he is going to hurt me. And what is the proof of that to me? How do I know, or how do I believe that's true? Because I believe that death is real. I believe that I can die. I believe that I can be destroyed. I believe that I can lose everything. Everything. And I believe that that's the case because God made it so. I believe God made death. God made hell. I don't recognize that I'm the one who made those things up. I believe that God did it. And I will not forgive him. I will not let him off the hook until I am proven completely that that's not true. So what is the purpose of the crucifixion? Let's get back to this purpose of the crucifixion. Why did that happen? Why did Jesus raise the dead, heal the sick, and raise the dead? Why? I hope you're getting where I'm going here. Why does Jesus tell us that the last final sin to be overcome is death? Why is that? Because death is inevitable, right? That first paragraph that Dove read, it just basically says, yeah, the ego tells you death is inevitable. Sickness is inevitable. Loss is inevitable because of what you are, because of what you've done. You will die. And that's what the ego tells us. But Jesus tells us, no, what the hell do you think I came here and went through being killed, murdered, bled, beaten, and then get up and walk around and talk to people? Why do you think that happened? Because I'm telling you, death is not real. Death is not your enemy. Death was not created by God, and therefore it is not real. If God is real, death is not. If death is real, God is not. So here's what I'm here telling you. The reason that we are not going home is because we are afraid of God's wrath and we believe that death is real. And that is what he gave us this course for. That is what he came and gave his life for. Seriously, to show us that death was not real. And, you know, your Father's not going to kill you when you get home. Your father's not going to hurt you. And I want to read something from Absence of Felicity Aussie posted on the Disappearance of the Universe group. And it's from the book Absence of Felicity. And let me see. Now I lost it. And it's about Jesus's resurrection. Because I'm just going to read it, if I can get to it now. lots and lots of posts in this group, I'll tell you what. I know how to get there. So basically, I'm just going to start talking about it. Basically, they ask, was there such a thing as a physical resurrection? And, you know, Bill said, well, Helen, they were talking about, and he said, why don't you just ask the boss? Ask the guy, did you actually resurrect? And here's what he says. He says, my body disappeared because I had no illusion about it. It merely became what it always was. And that is what rolling the stone away means. The body disappears and no longer hides what lies beyond. This is Jesus talking to Helen, all right? I've got chills. To roll the stone away is to see beyond the tomb, beyond death, and to understand the body's nothingness. I did assume a human form with human attributes afterwards, to speak to those who were to prove the body's worthlessness to the world. This has been much misunderstood. I came to tell them that death is an illusion, and the mind that made the body can make another, since form itself is an illusion. They did not understand. The body is an illusion. Yes, Dove, awake is to accept the power of the resurrection, that Jesus did not die, that his body was nothing. He absolutely had no connection to it at all. It was just an illusion. And he made it out of light. And after the crucifixion and laying in the tomb for 3 days, because that really had to be to set in rigor mortis, set in the body deteriorating. You know, he couldn't have just jumped up and run around right after the crucifixion. He had to prove he was really dead, that the body was no longer a living thing. And then he was able to come form a whole nother body. Make another body out of light, which is what it's made out of. That's what he tells us in the clarification of terms. Jesus is a man who saw the face of Christ and everyone he saw, and so remembered God and became identified with the body no more. He just was no longer identified. We identify ourselves as a body. That's the first mistake. Okay, so he's telling us death cannot be. And if death is not real, God is real. If God is real, death is not. All right? That's what I'm here to talk about. God is real. He loves us. And he wants us to come home. We don't have to be afraid of what's going to happen when we get there. Because we never left. We've always been here. We don't have to be afraid that he's going to be wrathful and he's going to kill us, because we cannot die. Death is not real. If you can ever just get that death is not real, then you will forgive God for everything you've ever accused him of, and you will turn your mind back to God, and you will be awake. He is awake in you. He lives in you. How do you know he lives in you? Because you know him. You know him in you. You know it is you. The message of the Christ, I am you. That's it. So, thank you guys very much. I'm way over my time. But please stay after. I'm going to play a song, and Barb is going to post a link. And as you know, Carrie has mentioned, we are, you know, we live on donations. I live on your grace, and you know, as Sonia so well taught me, a miracle principle number 16, giving and receiving are the same thing. So right now we're going to give you an opportunity if you would like to donate to Awakening Together. Please feel free to do so. I'm going to play a song and Barb will post a link. All right. Yeah, isn't that a sweet song? That just that is such a sweet song. I first heard that song in Quincy when I was up there visiting Vicki at the revival, and one of the people there, her father was in hospice and was dying, and she gave a talk and she played that song. And it just, honestly, it brought down the house, honestly, so beautiful. So now is the time that you can, you know, put your hand up if you have something to say. You'd like to make a comment about the things that we've talked about today. If you have questions or anything, please, you know, now's your time to let us know what's in your heart and in your mind. And you are welcome to join us. This is our Holy Communion, where we commune together. So I'll keep my eye up for anybody to put their hand up. And also, please feel free to stay with us afterwards. It's because we have an opportunity for people to share. It is our fellowship time together as a group. And I love hearing anyone's comments, anyone's take on anything. I know it's a big shock. and maybe the message today, I hope it sat well with people. I hope, you know, you really start looking at what am I afraid of? Because really that's the only reason we're not going home, is because we're afraid of what's going to happen when we get there. And I, you know, anyone who was ever a teenager probably knows that. But it's only because you don't trust God, and I hate to say that, it sounds so mean, but it's true. It's because we're afraid of God, and you know, if you read Nook Sanchez's the End of Death, and you know her blogs, she's got the real clarity on that, and I got the real clarity on that from her. From reading that, it shocked me. It shocked me when I first heard it, that the reason that I'm not waking up because I'm afraid of God. I don't like that. But that's what Jesus tells us. And once I started looking at it, I recognized it's true. You know, that prodigal son, he had to be pretty damn brave or pretty sure of what the character of his father was to be able to go home. After all that he had done, or all that he thought he did, you have to be really sure of God's character. And as long as you believe that death is a possibility, you will doubt God. You have no reason to trust him, because anything can happen. So really, to see that death is not real, it's not a possibility. And how do we see that? By going within and asking to be shown. You know, do I want to know what I denied because it was the truth? Do I want to see what I denied because it was the truth? And so many of those things we deny. So, still looking for a hand up. Anybody who might want to share. Aha, Kathy, knew I could count on you. Here's the mic.
Hi, can you hear me? Can anybody hear me? Yeah, good. This idea of... no sacrifice, no sin, no ever having been out of the mind of God, no separation. You know, all these ideas that we speak of week in and week out, and I listen to almost on a daily basis as well, and having to look also at my own beliefs, which still very much reflect my Catholic upbringing. And I had read a post from someone in Open Minds just about it seemed his frustration with the fancy words that we can use from an intellectual standpoint that maybe don't reflect our experience. That's more what he was speaking to, the, you know, rainbow, unicorn, God is love and all of that stuff. But if that's not your experience, it's the words don't really mean so much. You know, they're nice to have. They're nice to even discuss and talk about. But if it's not your experience, it can feel shallow sometimes. And so I've had to look at the ingrained and conditioned beliefs that for me came from a Catholic upbringing, where certainly from the get-go, when you go to Catholic school and Mass 5 days a week and also on Sunday, so that's 6 days a week of this ingrained conditioning that you are separate from God, you are responsible for his death on the cross, you are a sinner, and let me show you all the ways that you now have to come and confess to me as the priest in the confessional to absolve yourself, and here's your little, say, you know, five Hail Marys and five Our Fathers, and go on your way and repeat the same mistakes again, only to have to seemingly come back and confess again. And so I've been, you know, running that over in my head here and there along the way for sure, and realizing just how ingrained those ideas really are, how difficult it seems that they have been to overcome. And so, yeah, to hear that it's not true is a wonderful gift. But for me, I am asking for the experience in my day-to-day existence. I want to know the experience of what that truly means, and I realize that I can't seemingly do that, quote, on my own. I definitely need help, and I want to say that I appreciate all of you in this room as witnesses to the same goal, joining with me in realizing that I already am home. There's nowhere really to go. I'm simply mistaken with all of these beliefs, which, as you know, are lies that I've taken in and somehow seemingly cemented into spaces in my mind that now need to come up to be healed. And one of the other things this week that I found so helpful was someone had posted in the room a question to Regina, and she responded, and her answer was very, very helpful about the idea of space, the space in a room, for instance. The question was more about allowing everything to be exactly as it is, allowing a person to be as they are with whatever might seem to be going on. And she gave a response and likened truth to the space in a room where you might have a whole, in this sanctuary, all of us are here in this room, and we are still the human beings that we are, with all of our foibles and faults, and the space that holds us all is the truth. That space never changes. It simply rests in allowing each one of us to still be these flawed human beings, but we are concentrated on the being aspect, not so much the human aspect anymore. So in watching all of the thoughts that flow through the flawed mind and simply noticing them without attachment, but realizing they are still ingrained to some degree, conditioned in my experience, and needing help to roll away these stones so that I can arise into the truth of the heavenly existence where I am, what I am. So that's all. I just wanted to share, and I appreciate you letting me do that. And I also am grateful that my mic worked. So, okay, see you guys later.
Hey, I'm grateful your mic worked too. That was awesome. Thank you, Kathy. And it is, you know, what is my everyday experience, and how does my everyday experience support me? And Steph is saying the question that arose in me is, why did Jesus heal the sick if he knew it was all an illusion? That's what healed the sick, was the knowing that it was illusion. That's what was the healing. Oh yeah, and Nancy says, it just occurred to me that the English refer to weight in stones. Yeah, roll away the stone. And that's the reason Jesus did all those things, really, was to show, hey, none of it's real. And your faith has healed you is exactly what Jesus said. He never once said, I healed you. He never once said, I healed you, or I'm healing you, or I'm going to heal you. No, he said, your faith, it is the Father who worked through me. And so, your faith shows you my Father's home is your home. That's exactly it. So what happens when I become this, whatever it is, do whatever it is that Jesus did, which is what he's telling us. The whole course is telling us, you are just the same as me. You can do exactly what I did. And healing is to make whole and transcending separate bodies by making us whole, bringing us home, and uniting us in oneness. You know, oneness is a concept that so many people maybe don't really get because they think we can be one and we can be many at the same time. You can't be one and many at the same time. Many implies separateness, and my body is separate. There are many of them. My dogs are separate. There are many of them. You got to give up. That's the other thing. To the ego, it believes that waking up is death, because it no longer exists as a separate, special being. It is no longer seen as a separate, special being. It doesn't exist anymore. The specialness and separation are completely transcended when the mind is healed. And so healing, it doesn't mean... I've had a lot of conversations with people about this, and I think I'm going to wrap this up now because we're at the end of our service, but we'll continue on after this in our fellowship hour, which is we have a whole hour to talk amongst ourselves. So please be here. And remember, tonight we have Daryl Price, who is the author or the scribe of From the Christ Mind. And he is an amazing, amazing, amazing teacher. I'm so excited to be talking to him tonight. And what else is going on? I guess that's all. Anyway, I want to thank you all for being here with me today. I'm going to play a closing song, and then we will turn the mic over to start our social hour. So here we go, closing song. I love you guys, and thank you, Barb, for being my admin. Thank you, Dove, for reading for me. And if you guys want me, I set up, so I'm going to email this, the things that I had Dove read, and also that thing from Absence from Felicity. So if you will put just give me your email address, post it in the room, and okay, and Dove sent it to people who asked. So if you didn't get it, just put your email, and Dove will send it to you. Thank you, Dove. Oh my God, I love you. All right, thanks, you guys, and here's our closing song. trail.